here.
Okay. Just for the sake of the record for the court, for new members, could you, everybody just please introduce yourselves?
Absolutely. I'm Amber Anderson, I'm the director at the Pine Hill Aquatic Center.
Okay.
And here with me is Amy Davison. And she is a town council member with Big Piney Town Council, and Marie McGuire, I was going to say Lumber, and she is a PAC Joint Board, Powers Board member as well, so here just representing. So we are here as a joint presentation, submitting a request to Sublette County for consideration of funding for both the Pine Hill Aquatic Center and Big Piney Recreation. And our request is for the amount of $100,000 for each center. We understand that there might be confusion about this request and the approach we are taking for it. And so just to acknowledge that we, as individual entities with our Friends of PAC and Friends of Big Piney Arms, have approached the Rec Board for smaller grant funding. But in discussions and stuff, it's an unprecedented request to go to the Rec Board in a large capacity like this. And our intent is not to take grant funding from other rec entities that are already being funded through the Rec Board. This is an additional request for funding from the county, not to take from other recreational opportunities. So I want to clarify that.
Which is unprecedented as well.
Which is unprecedented?
Your request to the county.
Absolutely, and we acknowledge that it is very unprecedented. Okay. Yes.
Well, I wanted to acknowledge that.
Yeah. And we've also had a little confusion of like, is this the time of the year to present or not? We just want to be here in front of you. It's too important for it not to be heard. So if there is another time of year where you're doing more budget conversations and want us to come back, we are more than happy, happy to be here to answer further questions or further present our request in front of you. So with that then, I want to talk about services that we provide combined with PAC and Big Piney Recreation. Both of us are incredible, valuable assets to the community. There are services that come out of our organizations that are otherwise not offered in the community. Combined, our organizations offer over 130 interactions and touches to recreation for community members in Sublette County. 130,000 visits. That's an incredible number of people that we serve independently. We have all ages, all ranges of services. So all from newborn babies, toddlers, youth programs, all the way through senior populations. We serve all ages, all demographics. Within the county. We do athletic development through athletics, through teamwork, outdoor programming, experiences that are otherwise not offered to our community members. Both entities provide safe environments for after school and summer programming, which is a high need in this community for childcare opportunities. We have broad access to fitness and exercise opportunities. We are family-centered organizations providing lots. Am I talking really fast? Sorry, okay. I'm a little nervous.
Yeah. There's no reason to be nervous.
I'll slow down a little. but we provide family-centered activities. Families are important to us. We want to engage families. We want to make sure that those opportunities exist for sober, family-friendly events. And then we also create a unique opportunity for connectiveness within the community. Which combats, isolation and loneliness, which are really high factors for suicide, and Wyoming has one of the higher suicide rates. And so just by being our centers and these community places that people can gather and socialize and have common shared interests, we help combat some of these risk factors that exist in our long winters. So and all in all, we just do an incredible amount of community engagement and coordination. We work with, together, PAC and Big Piney work together to coordinate activities for summer programming, and we complement each other's services. And then within our own communities, we partner with, obviously the schools are big components, but BOCES, after school programs, PFAC, to continue to make sure that we are benefiting the community as much as we possibly can in our combined efforts. So with a request, and I know that this is, a simplified version, and I understand budgets are much more complicated than this request makes it. But according to the your tax dollars at work report on the 2018-19, there are $1.4 million allocated for recreation by the county for this current fiscal year. Of those, they have $718,000 labeled as carryover, $325,000 for recreation board, and then $341,000 for the ice arena. Our proposal is to be linked into that recreation funding and to have $100,000 go to both PAC and Big Piney Recreation and take the carryover down to $518,000. I understand very simplified and budgets are much more complicated than that, but the gist of it in general for that.
Can we talk about the carryover just a minute? Because that seems to be the premise for your request.
Uh-huh.
And Carrie, you can correct me if I'm wrong. The money that's in the rec board that is left over at the end of the year, cash goes back into the county. Now, if that money has been, allocated to a line item in our budget reserve for rec money, that is not really spendable money. It's not really actually rec board money. It's just a line item that the previous commission had chosen to spell out or to delineate out from the budget reserve. So I think there's some, and Carrie, correct me if I'm wrong, I think there's some misperception that when you have carryover, that carryover goes into rec board money. At the end of the budget year, any department that has money left over is converted to cash and goes into next year's budget, however we see that process going forward. So I think that we need to understand at the very beginning, and the rec board, I think as well, needs to understand this, because in the county report, we have listed $11.75 million in rec money. That is just a line item that under the previous philosophy of the board, which was to try to allocate 5 years' worth of operational expenses and capital cost. So the money's not really there for the rec board. That could change every year.
Right.
So it's not like there's $700,000 left that you can access unless we so choose to take it out of depreciation reserve, or we may want to move that into another depreciation reserve account, depending on this year's budget.
Right.
So, sorry for the lengthy explanation.
No, and I know that that is confusing. Like I said, this is very simplified. It is not, I know, understand, it's much more complex than that. And I guess then our proposal is just asking the county commissioners to kind of put the value that these recreation services provide to the community as a whole as a priority and something that you speak for and that you are willing to support. So that's what we're here to ask, is for your support in the continued services that these entities offer to the communities and the county as a whole. And understanding that that's a complicated process with budgeting.
Can you help us understand why you need support this year and
yes,
not in previous years?
So I'll talk with PAC and then I'll let Amy talk with Big Piney Recreation. So the Pine Hill Aquatic Center has worked really diligently this last year and over the past 2 or 3 years, but this year in particular, of diversifying our funding. So we have taken significant budget cuts over the past 4 years to find a budget that is sustainable for current operations. And we have gone from having a $3 million-ish budget to this year we had a $1.7 million. And through really diligent research efforts and focuses in-house, we believe that is a sustainable long-term budget for a facility like the Pine Hill Aquatic Center. So anywhere from 1.7 to 1.8. It's similar to other rec centers regionally that have the same features, the pools and the large facility to care for. And so in order to make sure that we are able to sustain operations, we have to secure, we're looking at about a $200,000 to $300,000 gap funding. So we receive about 66, this current fiscal year, we're receiving about 66% of our funding from the rec mill levy by school district number one. So we received just over $1.1 million from the school district. PAC, as ourselves with membership and program registrations, brings in another about $275,000. In previous years, we had interest accounts that we were able to use that interest for revenue. With the amendment of the Joint Powers Agreement that I presented to your board last year for approval, Those funds were transferred over to an asset preservation fund that is earmarked for really capital improvement of the facility. And that money is no longer available to us to be able to use for revenue based or as a backup reserve funding. That has been transferred back to the school district to preserve the building for long term. And so that was an additional cut that we took with our revenue base. So we are looking at about a $200 or $300 gap funding is what we are calling it. The proposed budget that Ruth Mack presented to you all at your last meeting has $156,000 of gap funding that the school district has approved to be able to provide in the event that we're not able to secure the additional funds that we need. But where we're at as a facility is if we're not able to secure this gap funding, then we have to take additional cuts to our budget. With 66% of the funding coming from school district rec mill funds, the 13,000 students that we directly serve during school district hours and for school district programs are obviously a top priority for our serving. The other 97,000 visits that we have a year are made up for the rest of that 34% funding. So if we have to take additional budget cuts, it's services to those 97,000 community members visits that we have every year that will be affected. It'll be services programs and access hours that will be limited.
Well, didn't, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't Ms. Mack tell us, and didn't you just say that the school district was willing to step in and provide the $150,000 in gap funding?
For a one-year thing. It is not an annual thing that they're willing to do.
So mm-hmm. prior to this, and you said you had cut in your mm-hmm. revenues, what were your revenue sources in the previous
years?
5 years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We received more from the rec mill. So last year we received $1.8 or $2 million from the rec mill. And so that has been drastically reduced.
Is it because the rec bill went down or the percentage you got from the rec
percentage
bill
we get down? Has changed. Correct.
So, and that was made on the part of the school district.
Correct.
In other words, mm-hmm. used to get a higher percentage of the rec mill.
Correct.
And for whatever reason, the school district decided to cut the percentage of the rec mill you got.
Correct. And I know, and part of that is that they are securing a portion of funding every year for capital improvement projects for long term.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Now, did you have any other source of funding?
So we have worked really hard this last year. We have not in the past. So, and if you look at the charts that are in your packets, you can see 2017, you can see that the school district's funding with the rec mill made up 83.9% of our funding. Then we had a small portion of it from membership use fees and interests, but we had no outside funding. Same goes for the current budget year that we're in now. That has been a primary focus of mine and my staff at PAC, is diversifying our funding. And so you can see our efforts of what we've been doing to be able to do that. What we're requesting from the county is only a portion of that gap funding. It is not the entire thing. We will be submitting to the town and have had preliminary conversations for contract for services. We've developed a Friends of PAC 501c3 that will be doing private donation, family foundation, grant donations on behalf of PAC. And then PAC as ourselves have also looked at grant opportunities and have launched a sponsorship program with the idea of cumulatively altogether making up that gap year of 200 or that gap funding of 250,000 and efforts from us internally to increase our internal revenue with out-of-county visits, increased membership, increased use fees, to make up an additional 50,000 to serve that $300,000 gap.
Questions and I'll turn it over to these guys. I'm sure they have questions too. have you in the past, you say the Pine Dale School District, have you in the past ever received money from BOCES?
No, we have not received money from BOCES. We have, will be, it's due this week, put together a grant application for BOCES. Our services, though, are limited in what we can be provided from BOCES. They have to be educationally based enhancement to extracurricular, enrichment courses. And so we have put together a report and will be presenting to BOCES a request for funding. But even that is not significant funds just because our missions of what we serve and our activities don't always align directly with what their qualifying criteria is. But we do work really closely with BOCES. We have a strong partnership with them.
And then have you ever asked, have you ever received monies from the town of Pinedale?
We have never asked and we have never received. So this is a first for us.
Have you thought about asking?
Up until this last year, it was not a conversation to diversifying our funding. So this is a new, we're in new waters and working really hard to make sure that we are aligning for long-term success and reaching out to all the partners. So it has never been something that has been a part of PAC's funding goals.
Okay, and then last question I have, and then I'll open it to the other commissioners. I think you touched on this, I don't understand the answer.
Okay.
Why would you not consider monies from the rec board? Or have the rec board consider your request?
Oh, we absolutely, if that's where you directed us to send it, then that's absolutely where we would take it for future years. I just know that they have a limited allocated amount of money. And so I don't want to, I'm an advocate of recreation in the county as a whole, so I don't want to submit a large request that is directly through them without them receiving additional funding where it would take away from the other grants that they provide for the many organizations. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm just looking at this number here thinking if this is correct, the carryover of $718,000 last year was, I guess, turned back into the county. If there was a request on the part of the PAC and you worked with the rec board, maybe that money could have come out of that carryover rather than us making a commitment. Like I said, and I didn't mean to say it in the wrong way, this is new for us, too.
Oh, yeah.
It is a new request.
Yeah.
We've not been asked for this before, and that's the reason for all these questions, to try to get an understanding.
Absolutely.
So with that said, I've probably said enough. Yeah. Commissioners have any more questions?
And I guess to talk with the rec board, we would take lead from the county commissioners. If you say this is where the request needs to go through, then that's where we're going to go. And I might be wrong in my interpretation and understanding of this, but we're asking for sustained funding, annual funding, and I don't know the relationship enough about the rec board and the county commissioners of if you say, yes, we like this, is the rec board mandated to support it, or is it at the discretion of the rec board? And I also am under the understanding that they review all of their grant funds, and they present you of, like, here's the budget we're requesting. And my fear is if it went directly through them and they requested, you know, $525,000 instead of $325,000, and then it said no, if they came back and were told, hey, this is a priority, we want this sponsored, that the rest of the organizations they support wouldn't receive funding.
Yeah,
so that would be why I'm here with them.
And I would think you would, you know, we're all on the same page in terms of trying to maximize your resources and diversify as much as you can, and I think that would include the town of Pinedale as well.
Yes, and it will.
Okay. Commissioners?
I guess I have two parts. One is there's three rec board members here. I'd like to hear from them, Mr. Chairman.
Good idea.
The other is there's 24% of the rec mill, and we have two school board members here. Awesome. Two. Can either one of you want to jump up and take the question? Where's the other 24%? Where's the other 24% of the rec mill go?
We have the skate park, so we fund the skate park, which is ours. The ski hill, since our students use the ski hill, we give them funding for grooming. Because according to our rec mill, it has to help all the community members. So we give funding to the ski resort to groom, to allow free for our students at the downhill ski for the ski team, so we provide funding there. And I'm trying to remember
auditorium.
The
auditorium.
Yeah, the auditorium receives rec mill funds. And there's one other, and I can't remember it off the top of my head. So there's a certain percentage that we have to fund out of the rec mill for that. And then, of course,
the
rec mill, we've done a preservation fund because we want this facility to be here 20, 30 years down the road. So a large portion goes to that. And then, of course, the PAC, which, like Amber said, the school funds 60, almost 70% of the funding for the PAC for only 18% of the usage.
Thank you.
And if and I'm the chairman of the PAC board also. I just, work called me to go do some other things before I could make it to the meeting. But anyways, we're really trying to provide as much as possible to the community, and it is greatly used by the community. And unfortunately, as our budget has been reduced, we have to find creative ways to keep our programs open to the community. And as Amber said, ultimately, you know, the school board will come back and say, well, just make sure that our kids and the students get the use of the building is first and foremost, since they provide majority of the funding. And then we'd have to start eliminating and reducing our services to the community, which we've done a little bit through some of the hours and stuff, but majority of our programs have not disappeared. And Amber has done a great job of being very creative in how we still keep our programs and keep things open to the community.
Do you feel that the fees to the public are comparable with other rec facilities in the state as far as
I think regionally, pay? Regionally, yes, with Jackson being an exception.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'd just be curious to hear from the rec board about the 700 carryover, 700,000 carryover. Not yet.
Trust them?
Who would like to answer that one?
I nominate Betty. So the $700,000 carryover wasn't really in the rec board budget. I think that the mill, we are designated a half mill levy, and I think carryover, maybe.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
But we get like 325, and then the hockey rink gets 300 and whatever, and I think that 700 is the difference between the half mill and what is actually paid out to the hockey rink and the rec board. So the first year it's delegated as rec money, but it's not used, so then the next year it goes into the general fund.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, a question. You guys levy what kind of mill at school district number one for recreation?
It's a full mill, a one mill. Yeah.
Okay. And so you, so it's up to the school board, and they can cut back that amount of money to divert it wherever they would like to on recreation. And am I correct?
We can divert the money where, as long as it, the parameter is, it needs to serve everybody.
Yes, in recreation, so to speak.
Right.
So I guess my question for Big Piney, anybody in the town council, has the school board in Big Piney ever adjusted that? Or has it always been the same? Whatever they, when they formed the rec board, was it the same? Or have you been told, hey, we can't give you this much money?
So the way that we are set up, we have a contractual agreement because of the building use and mm-hmm. ownership of the school. That contractual agreement states that we will receive a half a mill mm-hmm. of funding. That is how it's written. Some of years past, there's been other needs for that recreational fund money that the school has received for pool maintenance or whatever.
Right.
And so we have gotten less than that in years past. This year we are getting a full half.
A full half, okay.
You know what that amounts to, Amy?
210, okay. Approximately.
Glad you're here, Roxanne.
I was afraid you were going to.
You know I'm going to. The last
tired.
2 years, we've been relatively fortunate that our assessed evaluation has gone up a little. Mm-hmm. But that means more money coming into the rec mills, along with everybody else's mills. So to say we're at a point where we're taking money away, but there's more money coming in, does that make sense? In other words, we've got to take the school district is saying we've got to take some a 2/10 of a mill or whatever away from your budget because we got to put it here, but their budget just went up. The same with Big Piney. Their rec mill went up also at that time. So I guess I'm going back to the thing. Everything we're talking about is recreation. There has been a board put together for recreation. And I believe that this is where you guys should go. And then when the rec board comes to us, that's where we have this conversation about, do we want to get involved? Because Pinedale's talking about Pinedale. Big Piney is talking about Big Piney. We are the county commissioners. We are not here to delegate county funds to one special entity. We are here to do it for everyone, if we choose to, or if they choose to. And so, does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And so, if this is a recreation request, and it is very important. Don't get me wrong. This may be the most important request that we have. I can remember a lady by the name of K.O. Bujo, when I was the chairman of the rec board, that asked for $25. That was a request. And that's where we've come, to millions now. They were asking for $25. So myself personally, I think this is all valid. I think you've done a very, very nice job of putting this all together. You know exactly what you're talking about. You have a plan. But I think the rec board, being they were appointed by the county commissioners years and years ago, are the ones that need to go over this with you guys to see where and how you do it. And hopefully, no one suffers because of your large request. Mm-hmm. But your large request, if you look at the numbers, are serving an awful lot of people compared to, I have no idea how many people golf, how many people use the walking paths, how many people ski, all of those kinds of things that I'm sure are getting requests to the rec board. So I have no idea. But myself personally, I think that's where... this is good stuff to know about as far as being a commissioner. But I don't know how we can say, oh, yeah, we'll just write you a check. Doc might.
But by what?
Write him a check.
So,
Commissioner Miller, go ahead.
Well, everything is, I'm in agreement with Mike, everything is pretty much recreation-oriented. And I believe, even though this presentation is super, I think it needs to be before the rec board so they in turn can come to the commission for their funding.
During budget.
And I think that's the proper way for the channel to work. And I'm not saying yay or nay from my standpoint, but from what you've put together here and from what, the carryover is just money apparently that hadn't been requested. So there might be a little wiggle room in there for the rec board to consider your requests when it comes time for the next budget session.
The problem with that is the rec board already considered their budget request mm-hmm. for this year. Correct?
Yeah. Well, and the rec board budget's $180,000, right? Isn't your grant cycle $185,000 this year? So they would wipe out every grant.
No, not necessarily.
Oh, it could be higher?
And that would be, that's information we all need to have to consider. But I agree that, the timing may not be right with this moving forward to get into something on a one-year basis. Unfortunately, the timing to go to the rec board has probably already passed. But in principle, I would think that would be, if you're going to maximize the potential for diversity, I still think that on that list has to be the rec board, has to be the town of Pinedale, has to be others involved before you just come to us and say, make up the difference because we're running short. Now, to reiterate what's already been said, there's no doubt about the usefulness, the worthiness, the programs you provide, the need, the outcome, the benefit. Nobody's questioning that. It's just the sources of the money. And I would think it's our responsibility to give you that direction, and it would be within your responsibility to try to look at the other sources like the town of Pinedale. You have not because you ask not. They may not be able to help you, but I don't guess you've asked either.
And those come up at the end of the month.
Yeah, and then the rec board, you know, that might be something that if there's a need and they come to us, and that's why we have the rec board, and clearly this, help me if I'm wrong, falls under recreation with the except of what the educational programs that you do that's under BOCES, then I would think that the rec board would have to take that into consideration and approach us, even if it's a budget increase for them in order to provide the needs. And unfortunately, that goes every year. There's no guaranteed longevity in that because it depends on, number one, our mill levy, our revenues. It also depends on a list of priorities in terms of where we might need to focus our attention and other spending. So I don't know how to leave this because I don't know whether that helps you this year. Now you can always come back with a budget, but I think you've got a pretty much an idea of where we stand, where we feel, or what we feel, and maybe we can meet again.
Is the rec board in a position to sit down with you and have this conversation before budget?
You're putting them on the spot.
Well, we're all on the spot.
Are we in a position to sit down
with the pack and put together or go through the...
And the Piney Rack needs to be included in the conversation. I have not meant to dominate
the conversation. Your concerns and what you need to know then to bring that to us. Are you in that position or do you want... Are you?
We have until...
Papers, right?
Right.
To get it to carry. And, I mean, there's been a lot of work put into it already. And if we hold the line with what the letter that we receive says, that, you know, we don't get a budget increase, it's a moot point. Because mm-hmm. we're already, just a heads up, a little over last year.
I don't want to see you cut programs that you're already funding by any chance. I mean,
it's a $200,000 request, right?
That's a large request.
I mean, we're looking at a $350,000 budget currently. So mm-hmm. if we would be coming to you guys for $550,000,
yeah.
How would you guys feel about that if $500,000 rolled back into general fund and $500,000 went to rec board? It's a change from the past.
Can we address that during sure. budget talks?
Huh?
Can we address that during budget?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, to answer your question of how do I feel about money going from general fund and out of the budget or out of the reserve accounts, my position on that all along, and we've yet to do this, is that we as a commission need to sit down and establish what our priorities are. And we have not done that as yet. I think we need to. I don't think we can get to that point in the next month because we haven't done it. Now, in the future, do we need to do it? I've said that all along, that we need to have priorities because if we're going to dip into those reserve accounts, we certainly ought to have a list of priorities before we just start of willy-nilly going into and taking money out because we'll get requests from all over the map. Once again, we fully understand the philosophy of those reserves, and that was to enable the county to have operating and capital funds for the various departments for the next 5 years. Having said that, that may be worth taking a different look at in terms of priorities, in terms of does one account need 5 years worth of operation when in the scheme of things another account might only need 3 years worth of operation. But we haven't got to that point yet.
And this, just to be clear, I'm not talking about the depreciation reserves at all. Those, I think those are sacred, and you guys have done an amazing job securing our future. I'm talking about the rec mill raising $1.4 million a year, and you're only using $700,000. So it might not be, it's because these are exceptional organizations, and Amy and Amber have done so much work on this, it might not be too much for the rec board to come in with a $500,000 request instead of a $300,000.
And I think we'll go back to the clerk's comments. That's something we'll have to talk about in the budget process, which is coming up very quickly. We'll take that into consideration.
Did just me helping the school spend their money. I heard they were going to give the skate park to the town.
Right now, there's a proposal for a lease to lease the skate park. I don't know if the town council still has to. We've approved if they want to do that lease. But right now, funds we spend on the skate park a year is between $20,000 and $30,000. So we're going to save $20,000 to $30,000 a year.
That's just being honest.
No. They wanted it from us, but
that's
we
keep
decided
us all the time,
to invest in lease this instead.
Well, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
And if you
much.
Have any questions, you know, please feel free to contact us or
okay.
stop by
thank
any time.
For mm-hmm.
It's a complicated.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
From Main Street, Pinedale? That's next on our agenda. There's not anybody here? Oh. Oh, okay. Sorry.
Let me get another battery.
Yeah. Well, we can take this one. Work it this way. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well.
You must be Monty.
I am.
Good.
Start off with an introduction. I'm Monty Bolgiano. I'm here on behalf of Main Street Pinedale. For you guys that may not know what Main Street Pinedale is, we're an economic development board for downtown Pinedale, focusing on the vibrant downtown. Our vision is to help and create a vibrant downtown that sustains Pinedale as a welcoming place to work and play. This is our first year, whole year functioning as an 100% volunteer board. We going without an executive director for the first time. Our current board members, Chairman Leah Radakovich, Vice Chair myself, Secretary is Kayla Carey, Treasurer is Michelle Stouthammer, and then our large members are Carly Anderson, Boomer Friesen, Austin Keene, Carrie Cross, and Tyler Swafford. In the last 8 years, we've accomplished quite a few items, putting benches, pedestrian benches along downtown, gateway signs at the end of the town of Pinedale on either end with partnership with PFAC, the Moose Mural inside Jack's, another partnership with PFAC, refurbishing all the Civilization You Need sign, Ghost Spokes, the bike share program is the first one in Wyoming, brought back the Pinedale Winter Carnival, just finished our fourth successful year, and then the two things I'm here to discuss is the Community Cleanup Day and the Farmer's Market. Oh, and we've given over $30,000 back to the community in form of facade grants to Main Street, primarily Main Street businesses. First of all, the farmers market, I'm here to ask about moving it to the courthouse lawn. Once again, we were there several years ago. We'd like to move it back there. I've had a discussion with Andre about making sure it's clear with him his opinion. He is on board with it. His only concerns were no putting stakes in the ground and cleaning up the trash behind us, and letting him know before of what dates we'll be doing so the sprinklers don't hose down our farmer's market automatically. But other than that, here to ask you guys for permission to move the farmer's market from the Legion Park back onto the courthouse lawn.
When was the last time it was on the courthouse?
I would say 3 years ago off the top of my head.
And why did they move it?
Trying to allow for more space, and have the music, have bands playing while we're there, partner with PFAC, using the PFAC with sound check series, stuff like that, and having different musicians just play. But we found it's a lot harder to get the drive-through traffic to stop while, because all they see is a little blip as they're speeding out of town, rather than having it on Main Street where everybody can see the action.
Okay.
And the second thing I'm here for is the community cleanup day. We are hosting that on Saturday, March 18th from 8:30 to 1. And then Rendezvous Point will be there for sign-ups and lunch. And we'd like to ask the commissioners to designate the same day as the free dump day, as has been done in the past years. This is something we do for the community. We make zero money off of this, but it's what we feel is vital to the community as a solid community event.
Now that's something we've done in the past, has had a free dump day. Mm-hmm. And you're just asking us to make it coincide with this?
It always has in the past coincided with the community cleanup day.
Okay. All right. We'll take them one at a time. I'd entertain a motion to set aside May 18th as free dump day at the landfill with the planned community cleanup day as just presented. So moved.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion?
Well, on the free dump day, is Billy aware of this?
Well, what my understanding is they've had this at the same day every year.
Okay.
It's just a repeat request.
Okay.
But he would need to be aware. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Billy needs to be aware of this.
Any other comments or questions? If not, we have a motion and a second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries. Now, with regards to the second request, I'm assuming we need a formal motion to allow the use of courthouse lawn to host the farmer's market on Thursday evenings from June 20th to September 5th. We have a motion and a second. We can have discussion. So do we have a motion to or to allow the use of the courthouse lawn on those dates? So moved.
Second.
Okay. Now is there any discussion?
My same one is, Mr. Chairman, is does Andre know?
He just
well, I know
say,
that, but yeah. As long as Andre's on board,
that
yes,
that's correct.
That,
yes.
I have no problems with it.
Mr. Chairman, Monty, what about parking? I know there were a lot of parking at the upper end, and I understand your concern with buzzing by and not seeing what's going on, but what about parking? Is that going to be a concern, you think?
I mean, as far as the vendors, they'll have that time to pull up, get their equipment, their tables, whatever they need to get out. There'll be a designated area for that, for the unloading and reloading of equipment or product while during the farmer's market. But I don't foresee having so many people down there that they can't park within a block or two and walk over.
Any other concerns or questions? If not, we have a motion and a second, and I'll call for the vote. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? No opposed. Motion carries. Okay. Michael, thank you.
You bet. Thank you very much.
Thank you. You bet. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Carrie, I guess you and Emily are on board. We're behind.
You want to talk? Sure. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
This one.
So we are here to visit with you briefly about sort of combining our offices a tiny bit. Initially, we had talked about cross-training our clerks so that they could do everything the treasurer's office can do and everything the clerk's office can do, so that if one of our offices is short, we can borrow from the other office and have adequate coverage. We did talk to the county attorneys, and both Mike and Matt, about doing that, and they did have some concerns over if there was any kind of problem and there was litigation, it would drag both of our offices into it. So what we've decided in the interim is to, instead of having those girls be cross-trained, simply have one desk that has a treasurer at it in the clerk's office so that when somebody comes over to do new vehicle registration, they do their sales tax right there, and the paperwork next to the clerk that's a clerk title, or a title clerk, have them do the title work while the treasurer's clerk is working on doing the registration. So there's no longer the shuffle between the clerk's office and the treasurer's office and back and forth, where you end up standing in line three times and interrupting a person twice versus just having somebody stand there, you do the sales tax, they do the title, they do the registration, all at one place. But it's still, I'm over my treasurer's, she's over her clerk's, and there's no clerk's doing sales tax and treasurer's doing title work. So it's just simply eliminating the need for the back and forth shuffle between the two offices. We've been doing it since Friday, and it's been working out really, really good. So,
have you had some compliments?
We have.
That's
so
good.
They said the other day, you mean I don't have to go back and forth, and this took 10 minutes? Holy cow. So I think it's been working out really, really well for us.
Good.
So, a little bit of feedback on that. I did want to ask, and did you have anything else, Carrie, on that?
Just wanted to reiterate that the treasurer's doing the duties statutorily required by her. The clerk is doing the duties statutorily required, but we're just closer together.
Yeah. And it's pretty much just for new registrations. So registration renewals, property tax, still all happening in my office. So.
Okay.
I did talk to John at with our attorney, John McKinley, yesterday about Vanguard. They are having a meeting this afternoon about Vanguard's second Chapter 11 filing. So at this point, he does not have any new information. He thought he would have some maybe by this afternoon. So he said, if you want, I can call in, but I don't really have anything to report until this afternoon. So we should know something probably by this evening or tomorrow in regards to the second bankruptcy through Vanguard, if that's going to affect our second half of 2018 taxes. And what's going to happen with the second half of 2017 taxes. So that's kind of up in the air. I also wanted to ask you about PILT. So we get a PILT payment. I think you guys are all familiar with the SRS money and the PILT money. The way that is designated now, 5% of that money goes to the schools, and then 95% of it goes towards the road construction fund. And I talked to Christy Racine, who's the state auditor, about that designation, and she said it's really up to us. So if we want to change the percentage that is delegated to the schools versus the road construction fund, the minimum is one of them has to have at least 5%. So I didn't know if that was something you guys wanted to consider, changing the amount that actually goes to the schools from PILT money, or leaving it as it is.
I think that's something we'll have to discuss in the future.
Okay.
Yeah.
During budget.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. It looks like this year's PILT money is going to be a little bit less, and then in the next year in 2020 and 2021, it's going to be even more less every year. So it's not something that we really rely on as far as our budget. It's not a massive amount of money, but I do think that it might be something to consider changing the allocation at some point.
What kind of money are we talking about from PILT?
I think last year it was like $160,000. I mean, it's.
Yeah. I was thinking it was more than that, but
I thought it was around $200,000.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like millions of dollars.
Right.
It's a couple hundred thousand dollars at best.
Right. And right now the school's getting 5% of that.
Right.
And that 5%, how is that divided amongst the schools?
You know, it just allocates out, the computer does it. I don't really know how it divides it up. That's a Brian question. He'll be here tomorrow, so
yeah. We'll need all that when we go into budget. Mm-hmm. Get those numbers.
See how that allocates out. I'll ask him about that.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, with PILT money going down, is SRS money going down also?
Yes. That is the rumor.
Okay.
And until it really happens, I mean, they're just estimating at this point, but it looks like it. That the funding just isn't as much.
Because that's a biggie for us, for search and rescue, for the helicopter.
Well, the SRS is.
Yeah, the SRS, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. think that's all I have.
Well, good. Thanks, Emily. And good job with the change.
Yeah. So the lady, the two ladies at the desk that are going to be closer together, does that mean this boat thing is going to go faster?
Sure.
Once you get your work done.
Sure.
Remember, at the forum, I said if your brother-in-law gives you a free boat, say no.
I understand.
They're always a headache. Yeah.
I understand.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks for catching us back up. We're now almost on schedule. I don't know if Todd can keep us there, but
I can't.
Yeah, I think we're ready for you, Todd. You want to come up and have, oh, Mike, thanks for coming.
Thank you. Mine's really simple.
Really?
Yeah. It's the contracts for the fairgrounds pole barn. So it's all the notice of award that you signed some time ago.
We just have to approve the contract.
I just have to get John Henry's on them two sheets. One of them's the contract, and one's the notice to proceed. I know Carrie did email that out in your packet, so hopefully.
So what we approved last time was the contract amount.
Yep.
Do we have to approve the contract itself?
Correct. Yeah. So basically the way it works is we get a notice of award, and that's by saying, yep, I agree with the quotes. And then with that, the contractor, at least I don't like getting ahead of the contractor. We'll wait until they get the bonding and their insurance. And then once they have that, then we can approve the contract, which is all that's in that package.
So we don't have the contract.
Yep, the contract on that, it's in that blue tab, the blue tabs.
Yeah.
Yep, that is the contract. It's a 4-page contract.
I didn't put it in the printable packet. It's in the...
Yeah, I see where we're having the sign, but I'm just trying to see what it is we are signing.
Go to that divider right
there. The agreement right here.
Right there.
Okay.
And Matt has reviewed all of our agreements. I do nothing without Matt's okay.
Okay. So we need a motion to approve the contract between Sublette County and Supreme Building Systems on the pole barn.
Do you want to add the dollar amount?
I think we had that last time. Yes. What is it in there? $94,500. We could have a motion to that effect to approve the contract with Supreme Building Systems in the amount of $94,500.
So moved.
Thank you, Mr.
Had to get out
Mr.
Of
Vickery.
Hey.
Yeah, good for you. Okay, we got a motion now.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All right. Got a motion and a second. Any discussion? If not, I'll signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. I guess it says by, is that where it is, Todd? And above that is owner, Sublette County by me.
Yep. And then on the notice of proceed, it should be. And the reason I'm asking for the notice of proceed so he can get his materials ordered so we can get this thing done before.
That's what this is, yeah.
So this, you'll sign it right here.
Yeah.
And then that other one's an exception, acceptance from him, which we don't really care about.
So this is what you need. Original stays with the county.
The original stays with Carrie.
Two other copies?
Yep. And that's for, because that one's got the original bonds and everything in it, so that's, I want that to stay here.
One, or actually that's two. copies. Now, what else we got?
Well, I got an email yesterday morning on the change order price for that curb wall around the fire station.
Okay, but prior to that, don't we have to sign this? The thing for planning and zoning is something we've already approved. Is that not right? We just need to sign it? The resolution for Runway Lane Minor Subdivision?
That doesn't have anything to do with that.
I was
really?
Confused.
Yeah.
He's adding.
Oh, I got it.
I'm adding one, else. Sorry.
Go ahead. Sorry.
And
yeah,
I guess,
know what you're adding. Go right ahead. Tell these guys what you're adding.
I guess Shad sent it to you, right?
Yeah.
So the change order for that curb wall that mm-hmm. Mac and David met with us on, I got the price from the contractor. You want to review that? And I've just got a change order just to document it, just to have the paperwork.
Would you like to update the other commissioners on this in terms of the what
of the reasoning?
Yes.
What had happened is once we removed that EFAS off of the existing siding, we found that that siding actually goes under the ground 3 to 4 inches around the complete building. So we come together, got our heads together between the contractor and the architect, and the best fix is to bring a curb wall around that exterior of that wall and dowel it into the foundation to rest that cement on, or to rest the new siding on, so that we don't get all that moisture into the new siding, up against the new siding.
Todd, would you help us out in terms of why this was unanticipated and what led to us being in this predicament?
Because it was because the existing siding is underneath. They actually put the siding on the building. The approach and everything going into the building is 4 inches above the siding. Today's code, which honestly the code was there even when they built this building, you're supposed to have your siding 6 inches above grade. And we're 4 inches below grade. But nobody knew about it until all that was removed.
How tall is the stem wall going to be as currently thought of?
We're going to have 8 inches above the ground.
So my concern is, and help me with this, is the snow on the north side piles up against the wall. That's why we have the current problem.
Correct.
Would it not make more sense to have the stem wall higher and the siding higher? I'm just saying, because how are you going to keep the water from running between the stem wall and the existing tank?
Well, we'll have
the same problem, just at a higher elevation.
We'll have flashing that keeps that from penetrating.
The flashing will come down with the new stuff and it'll go
and goes over top. I should have brought the detail.
It's okay.
But so we'll have flashing that comes over top of the curb wall. So anything that runs down that wall will actually come out and go away. I was actually going to talk a little bit with Andre possibly and see if we can, because that north side is a nightmare. I mean, mm-hmm. it was this deep, mm-hmm. to see if maybe they couldn't remove some of that snow as it accumulates instead of letting it pile up there without hitting the wall.
Yeah, that was my concern, is that the pile's so deep that the water is setting on.
But it's like I say, but all of that will be sealed. I'm more worried that it's going to dent that siding,
mm-hmm.
more than I am the water.
And if you got Andre moving the stuff, then he's going to possibly have problems.
And we could look at, and the reason we're dowling into the existing foundation wall instead of going down below frost is, one, money. Digging 4 feet along that wall would be expensive, but we're dowling into existing that is frost protected. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. So my other thought is that's an iron building, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the stem wall is going to drop at each beam?
We're gonna pin it every 18 inches into that existing foundation wall.
So you're going to pin the wall out here?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. So this turbowl will be coming, so it'll be floating off.
What's that?
You don't have a copy of that cost estimate, do you?
No.
What kind of an issue is there, Todd, on removing that snow? Is there adequate room or something?
I think the biggest reason why they haven't is because they've got bushes and stuff in there now, which when we build this curb wall, then bushes will go away. ML's not happy about it, but we have no choice.
Okay, so then how much, not having went and looked, how much room is there if you have to have some snow?
Well, they've got that whole parking lot that's in front of it that goes up to the building, or 5 feet away from the building. It's just that park strip that's between the building and the pavement is what we're talking about. But there is room to get in there with a bobcat carefully and remove it. Tom's question about maybe going higher with that side, other than cosmetic looks, would be a pretty good bumper for a bobcat to go in there and scoop.
I see multiple reasons for that, because the snow gets 6 feet deep over here.
Yeah, I understand.
And I realize that your flashing seals it, but not against standing water. That's running water.
Well, and like I say, I'm more worried about the weight on the site. Now, having said that, we've got two layers of tin. That existing tin that we kept, mm-hmm. That's why there's a credit for that $20,000 for their removal of that existing tin. And it's pretty stout, but I still would hate to crinkle the new tin, the new siding.
No, Mr. Chairman, I can relate to the removal of the snow along that wall, because I have the same issue at my house on the north side of my facility. And if I don't, on occasion, move it away, that stuff gets way high.
Yeah.
It drips off, and then it freezes, becomes ice, and it can create a real issue.
Yeah, and if you get it early while it's snow, it's a lot easier to remove.
Correct.
You can't. Shad's going to actually take the fire truck and spray it down to try to melt it so that Dan can continue working.
I think the issue here is an unanticipated problem that
Correct.
Causes us an increased expense. And what we need is a motion to approve the cost estimate or the increase in work order with Premier Site in the amount of $18,524. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
So, Doc, I'm fine with that motion. But my concern is that's for that scope of work. Is that scope of work adequate to solve this problem? And I want to hear that from Shad and Todd, because I don't want to add any money to this, but I don't believe that stem wall is tall enough, especially if you're talking about having snow removal.
Well,
the tin will get mashed, especially when you're dealing with ice. So I want to know that.
That's a good question.
That design that we're making this for, motion for, is adequate, and I have my concerns.
For as far as
height of the stem wall.
Yeah.
The height of that stem wall on that side, I'm with you, Tom. The architect was trying to keep it. He's trying to make it look nice. And it will look like.
But we're going by function. We're going by what we need.
This is abandoned in my mind. I want to fix.
And so if we was to raise that up on that side, just that side, the rest of it.
4 foot.
Would have to come up.
Is there a way to make a decorative 4 foot facade, or
can you just paint it to match the tin?
Or even you know, colored concrete or stamped concrete or something decorative to meet the aesthetic value, but still be functional. And
I think your colored concrete's an excellent idea. And they pour a little color in the concrete and they built a wall.
I mean, we could make it brown concrete.
I'm fine with those. I just don't feel that 8-inch wall is adequate.
And you're right on that side.
The other side, I don't care.
Yeah, we're just talking about the north side. Right?
So we're going to need another bid.
So if we talk about aesthetics, there's no aesthetics now because it's covered up. And it has been covered up since Thanksgiving.
You're correct. But this the 4-foot wall Even a 3 foot wall would prevent that tin from being hit with a bobcat, because that's the only way they're going to get in there is with a bobcat.
Well, we need to make up our mind what we want, get that, and then we need to get a bid for that.
So I make a motion to go back and get another bid for
them. We don't need a motion for that. We just correct them.
Yeah, and we can do that. Or the other option is let's get him started on the three sides, the two sides. The library side, that's one thing I forgot. We're not going to do the curb wall on it. We've got enough grade. Mm-hmm. We're just going to pull our new tin up above and flash that exist over the existing tin and give us our 6-inch gap, because we never seen any that's on the gable end. We didn't get any snow build up on that side this winter.
So if you're going to have him start on a project, he's going to be working on the existing contract cost amount, because he's not going to have an approved contract.
And I don't think Dan will have any trouble moving forward without a change order.
Yeah.
I think some people's word is actually good.
So I'll need to go back to the north wall. But if you add 3 feet to it, when the guy in the skid loader hits it and it's just pinned to the other wall, it could separate.
Well, I'm gonna have Kyle look at the pinning if we go with the higher. We may have to pour a footer on that
wall. Gonna change the you see where I'm going. Is the guy in the operator's gonna say, oh, it's a cement wall, no big deal, and he's gonna be prone to getting bumped. Well, the only thing holding it is the beams on the interior. So then the beams have what spread?
Well, they vary.
12 feet probably?
They vary.
If he hits it, no, it's gonna crack the cement or separate it from the footer. And
what we'll do is probably put an L footer on that.
Okay.
On that one.
What's there now on the north side? There's no production at all. It's just snow builds up and gets up underneath the existing siding, and so by going 3 foot higher or whatever on a concrete, then it's 3 foot. I'll leave it to you. I'm sorry.
Well, what it does is gives them a bump.
Mm-hmm.
The other option, I guess, would be we want to get rid of the snow. That's just going to have to become.
Well, I think it works both ways. With the stem wall, the snow's not as critical.
Not as bad, but it's still, even if it gets 6 foot and we're only 3 foot, you've got the same issues that concern you to start with.
I see Jay shaking his head. Do you have a comment, Jay?
I have the same problem at the Ag Center. And I have a 3 foot stem wall. I have ice dams on the ceiling or on the roof, so it stops the snow slide, but then when it gets warm, it drips. I can't keep ahead of the ice. I wish I had heated concrete, because when I get in there and start working with the skid steer to get it out, I'm on ice and I slide all over the place. I end up risking damaging the building trying to fight it.
That's true when it gets iced.
What kind of heat do you have in the fire station? Is it radiant heat, or
it's the overhead heat? You don't have anything. There's nothing with concrete.
We could run a slab on that side, electrical.
I'd like to
do a boiler with glycol.
Well, that's the best option, but he doesn't have a boiler in the fire station.
Would an on-demand water heater be enough for that system, or you'd have to have three different systems?
Not that big of an area.
So you can't heat a stem wall. It has nowhere to go.
Well, hey, we're talking about putting a slab instead of that park strip.
Yeah, it's still going to be. Sorry, I don't mean to make this into a big deal, but figure it out.
Yeah, we need to figure it out. We need to move on, too.
I say
move
forward and come back with a better solution.
But am I okay to have Dan start on...
If he's willing to do that.
On the
if
other,
he's willing to do that with that understanding, yeah.
Because he's got metal ordered for the 1st of May.
Is he doing the concrete himself?
Josh Adams is doing the concrete. Dan says... Josh just does a nice job.
He does. Excellent.
So he got Dan a quote to do it.
Mr. Chairman, one comment, and I know you want to put this to rest, but you really don't have to go right against the building as long as you've got, say, a foot. And because, at least with my experience on my building, and I suspect it's similar to this one as far as what occurs, if you've got a foot away from there and you can keep after the snow, then as that next snow falls, it doesn't go again the building, it goes between the piece you've left, and it's just a matter of working at it as time prescribes.
And I agree with what you're saying. The only issue is that's not the only snow removal maintenance has.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I realize always that, but it's not a very big piece.
Right. But they've got the rest of town, the rest of... Mm-hmm. So they get in a hurry, and accidents happen. I mean, we could put bollards up there to protect it, but the cost is probably...
Well, I can tell you, if they run into a building, a scoop shovel the next time will take them. They'll start being careful more so.
So, but yeah, we will do that. The third subject that I've got with the fire station, or the second subject.
You didn't even make this short.
I know.
He already said he was.
I was getting
2 minutes ago.
You got started. Andre mentioned replacing the windows. And I know we discussed that, but I have not got a quote on that. And I need to visit with Andre to see if that's a major maintenance budget or a fire station budget. But this would be the time to replace them windows.
Because the siding's already off, what you're saying.
Yep. And then we're flashing in new windows instead of the... There's only 6 windows in the fire station.
How much is that going to cost? I guess our concern is we're going into overruns now, and we're going to turn we're already considerably higher than what we started out in terms of this project.
Yeah, this thing was going to add another 20 grand.
Well, at least it's mm-hmm. 18 grand without.
No, that's on top of that.
Oh, so you?
I know. I don't know that either, but it's.
I would say...
Where's this money coming from?
Well, he's asking, does it come out of Andre's...
No, I know about for the remodel of the... Not the remodel, the building, correct, and the outside part of the fire hall.
The additional money.
Well, the money that we've already allocated for it.
If the expense goes higher... Then it would either come out at the end of June out of the building reserve account,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know if it would be or a fire reserve account. We would have to look at that.
I guess what I'm asking is, we've already got X amount of dollars covered. Anything above that is going to have to come out of the fire reserve. But we do have, I don't remember the project cost in terms of what we have allocated at this point. Because it seems to me we started out a whole lot lower than where we are now.
As far as the fire, as far as the exterior.
Yeah.
The interior, we're still good.
Yeah.
So, whatever, and I can't remember what that number was, but we have not gone over on that.
Well, I'm just trying to put it in perspective in terms of the windows. I can understand it's the time and place to do them, but,
how bad are they? On a scale of 1 to 10, what?
I don't want to be the construction expert. That's absolutely not my role. But I can tell you that the condensation builds up on the inside of the windows. And my understanding, that means that the windows are bad.
The sills are bad between the panes is what it... Besides some leaking.
But didn't we know this before we started the project?
Actually, I didn't.
So I guess, Mr. Chairman, you did ask the question approximately. What are part 6 windows? What are we looking at?
I would say right around 7 grand for the 6 windows.
That's installed?
Because they're large, yeah. Purchase. No, that would be installed. They're pretty large windows, but...
I guess in my mind, Mr. Chairman, is bring us the quote. We'll decide then.
Yeah, and I guess my concern is we've already gone from something that was going to be covered into $20,000 to something that's going to cost us 18 grand more than that, which is... now going to cost us 20 more grand than the 18 grand that we started with, and we're going to add $7,000 on top of that. So I'm just doing the math, and all of a sudden we got a $55,000 increase. That's why I ask where the money's coming from.
And I do know we have it in reserve. We can move it at the end of the year, but that particular account's finite. So I agree with Commissioner Noble. Bring us a cost estimate when you bring us a part on. Do we decide on 3 foot stem or 4 foot stem?
It's up to them. Yep. I think 3 would save money. I think 3 would be adequate, especially if you have to put a footer under.
We'll have to have an L footer down there.
You don't know who's there or with what.
And then are we going to consider colored concrete and heated?
That's minimal. Color's minimal.
No, the heated, I wasn't suggesting doing a heating.
Okay.
I would heat the slab and leave it with the 8-inch stem wall is what I would do if we had the option to heat with a boiler.
And this also, the south side, takes care of the puddle right there in ML's entrance.
Yeah, we've got an awning that takes care of that, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll stop talking. It's costing money.
Thank you. I said thank you to him.
Not to me.
No, I'm going to say thank you to you now.
I'm done.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Todd.
You bet.
All right, we need to move on rather quickly. I need a motion to adopt resolution number 19-100357B, which deals with the Runway Lane minor subdivision, amending the original subdivision as we approved to do it last Sunday.
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any questions, comments? If not, all signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Mr. Noble?
Hi, sorry, I was in another world.
Yeah, I thought so. Motion carries unanimously.
Enjoyed that, didn't you?
Pass it down for signature. The next item on our agenda is we have a catering permit.
Accounts payable.
I was trying to think of something we could do while they're signing. Okay, accounts payable. If I could have a motion to approve the accounts payable as audited by the clerk and the board.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Second. You're another world.
Any questions?
No.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Going to be in this chair. Remember, you got 3 of them.
Yes.
Here, that's why I jumped to it, because I didn't have my little tab for it.
Oh.
The accounts payable.
Sorry.
I'm just going by what's in front of me.
Oh. I can put that in there next time.
Yeah. Well, it's just been one of those mornings. I'm going to pass those to Carrie Mack. Let's see. I'm going to make sure I'm right on the agenda. All right. Now we're to the catering permit from the Eagle Bar. We need a motion to approve the catering bar, or the Eagle Bar for a catering permit for the upcoming gun bash on Saturday. Well, it was a Saturday. It's passed. April 6th. Yeah. Passed. So,
so moved, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
Second.
Any questions or comments? If not, all signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries. This is just approved here. Don't have to be ceremonial.
Ready to go under reason?
Huh? No. We have Janice. Janice, did Janice leave? Well, Janice was going to do NOVs first, right? Do you have any?
We don't have any abatements. We have supplementals, but no abatements. So my
okay. Now, we are to the point on our agenda that we are going to, I need a motion to recess the county commissioner meeting and open up the County Board of Equalization meeting.
Move.
Second.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries. Now, Carrie, we will, I think, need you to try to contact, it's Dan Schlager, is that correct?
Mm-hmm. He's expecting a call.
Hey, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
If I may. Yeah. I just wanted to clarify the county attorney's office role in front of the Board of Equalization, because it is a little confusing. I don't think we've done any tax protests since the new board has been sworn in.
Correct.
So in 99% of matters, I represent the county commissioners. To my knowledge, this is the only area, tax protests, where I do not represent the Board of Equalization. I represent the county assessor in the whole process, the thought being, I can't represent both the decision maker and a party to the action. That seems a little unfair, and I agree with that. So I am very limited in terms of questions I can answer to the Board of Equalization or legal guidance I can give the Board of Equalization. I guess what I do feel comfortable saying is, for routine, straightforward matters, I don't think the Board of Equalization needs to retain outside counsel or an attorney to help assist you through the process, although that is solely the Board of Equalization's decision. I have no bearing or influence on the matter. But I would highly recommend in more complex tax protests, and especially in the hearing process, that the Board of Equalization retain outside counsel to both conduct the tax protest, the hearing itself, and then to render the conclusions of law, issues of facts, the document that will come from the hearing, basically that memorializes the decision-making process. So I just wanted to be clear with the Board of Equalization, I am not your attorney in this matter, and I cannot give you any legal advice. And again, my ability to communicate with you outside of this formal process is extremely limited.
Thank you. But as a matter of protocol, when we get the interested party on the phone, it is then appropriate to turn it over to Janice in terms of opening discussion with this regard?
I'd be comfortable with that, but yeah, if Janice is as well, I say go for it.
Okay.
Dan, this is Carrie Long. I'm going to put you on speakerphone. Mm-hmm. Okay, you're on speakerphone.
Dan, this
is... Hi, everyone.
Hi, Dan. This is Commissioner, or I'm Chairman David Burnett, Sublette County Commissioners. We are now opening up our County Board of Equalization to consider the tax appeal. Present at this meeting, we have Mack Rawhauser Commissioner, Tom Noble Commissioner, Doug Vickery Commissioner, as well as myself, and then we have...
Great. Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to call in to the meeting.
Okay. We also have President Janice Saxton, who is our assessor, as well as Matt Gaffney, who is the Deputy County Attorney. So I'm going to, at this point, turn it over to Janice.
I just say...
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you want me to go first?
I'm just going to shut my mouth.
Okay. So the issue here And you can jump in at any time if Mr. Burnett, Chairman Burnett says that's fine.
That's fine.
But in 2017, we did not receive an agricultural affidavit from the appellant. Therefore, they paid taxes in 2017 based on fair market valuation of the property. In 2018, they did send in an agricultural affidavit to the county clerk's office, but we did receive it timely, and the application was sufficient for us to change it to agricultural valuation. We neglected to do so. It was our mistake, and it's a mistake that I would prefer to have the opportunity to fix. I don't like to have those on the books, and I would just prefer that we are able to make this correction to the 2018 tax rolls.
Now, Dan, I guess you're requesting that we make an adjustment to the correct rate and then refund the excesses paid for 2018. Is that correct?
That's correct. And the only thing I'd add is that it was all this kind of occurred due to unfortunate circumstances in that. And in my predecessor in this role passed away in an avalanche accident. And so at our headquarters, it just never found its way to me in 2017. So that's kind of been the genesis of our trying to get this all corrected moving forward. The property has been in agricultural production for a much longer period. I don't think it's ever been not in agricultural production.
Okay. At this time, I'm going to ask the commissioners, Dan, if they have any questions of either you or Ms. Saxton.
Okay, thank you.
Any questions?
No, sir.
Okay. Anything else from you, Janice?
Nothing
then
from me.
Commissioners, I would consider a motion of whatever you are entertaining.
Mr. Chairman, I move we request an adjustment to the current rate and refund of the excess paid.
To the correct rate.
To the correct rate, yes.
Okay. We have a motion to make an adjustment to the correct rate and refund the excess amount paid
second.
In 2018, seconded by Commissioner Noble. Any discussion? If not, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 I would accuse myself.
Thank you, Commissioner Vickery. So the motion carries 3-4 with one abstention. So I think that takes care of your request. Is that right, Dan?
It sure does, and I really appreciate it. Thank you all very much.
All right. Thank you, sir. Okay. Goodbye. At this time, I would entertain a motion that we close the the Board of Equalization meeting and reconvene with the County Commission.
Mr. Chairman, when I prepare an abatement, does it need to wait till the next time to get your signature, or do I have authorization to just pass that to the treasurer immediately without signature based on this?
You can have authorization to pass it to the clerk, and she can put my stamp on it.
Very good. Okay.
Is that good?
That's very good. Thank you.
We have a motion by Commissioner Noble, seconded by Commissioner Rawhauser, to close the Board of County Equalization and go back into regular session. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm your attorney again, yeah.
Not all right. Yeah. Yeah.
Good to meet you.
And Janice, thanks for being up front and straight on that. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Janice.
Thank you.
Okay, we are a week past up month of reports from the commissioners. We got a limited time left to do that. Before we get into that, I would like to say I got a request from the library in the future. If they requested that we have a commissioner appointed as a liaison to the library board. I gave that some thought. I think it's worth considering because it is a public building, and their budget does encompass the use of that public building. So with that in mind, Commissioner Vickery, I would like to ask you if you would be the liaison to the library board.
Well, I guess there's a point in time for everything.
It's a good place to start.
I would do that.
We will get straight with that. We'll have lunch with them next.
I will be available, but I don't want to go to every meeting just...
Oh, no, you don't have to. That's just as a...
At their request?
Well, or as a point of contact with the commission. Yeah. And we will be meeting our May meeting. We will be having lunch at the library. And I would like to take that opportunity to make that announcement and have them have you as their liaison.
I will be there.
And I appreciate your service.
I know that.
Okay.
And as a point of clarification, Mr. Chairman, so if I get a call because there's a book in the library that someone is opposed to, I will tell them to call you as the liaison.
Just go get the book and burn it.
No. It's you're the liaison. You're the one in charge.
I get to burn the book.
Yeah, well, whatever.
Just point them to the First Amendment of the United States Constitution.
Yeah, absolutely. Who moved my cheese?
All right. Anything to report, Commissioner Rawhauser?
You know, I really don't. No.
Okay, Commissioner Noble.
Sat through a meeting with the town and the water rights holders of the Lee Ditch. There's a drain that comes out of the Lee Ditch that goes down into the town's septic system. And they're having some concerns and issues with that, which possibly involved the county. They're looking into it and moving forward with some water testing to see what the appropriate action would be with that at this time. So we're just following up and seeing where that comes out, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
I've been to...
That was the meeting that we attended.
Yes.
It's been 2 months.
What was necessary.
Why would it include the... I'm just curious. Why would it include the county if it's between...
For one.
Lee Ditch.
The county has a subdivision above it. And the other is the Lee Ditch is a county easement, I believe.
Yeah.
So those two reasons.
But
the water coming...
The water right holders out of the Lee Ditch should be responsible for that.
So the conversation involves the spring water coming into the Lee Ditch is overwhelming the town's sewer system during the winter because the Lee Ditch is shut off. But all the spring water coming in is overwhelming the town's fresh water intake at the filtration. So there's a couple ways to look at it. And one is it may be a state. The state owns the water rights, owns the water. So it encompasses the state, the county, and the town, and the water, and the irrigation district. So at this point, we're just feeling our way into it. We'll figure out the problem.
Well, there's also concerns about fecal coliform and other...
and that's why they're testing it.
Things that are coming into the water, which may be coming off the county subdivision.
I think that's a slim chance, but...
Yeah, but I mean, that's what...
It's part of the conversation, yes.
Right.
I thought the fecal... It was just coming through the inlets out of the lake, basically.
That's what they're supposed to be determining.
They're going to be checking it at different sites to determine that.
The water... samples, that's what they're doing, is determining where that's come from. So it's an ongoing project. I felt like it was worth mentioning that I'd forgotten in the past. Been to multiple broadband meetings and hearings. We're going to get into that after lunch. I think I can cover all that then,
okay.
Mr. Chairman.
That's fine. Is that it?
I think so.
All this time? Good.
I've been bugging the hell out of Matt.
I have nothing.
Okay.
Just our charging of rent in our office.
Yeah.
There anymore.
All I have to report, Commissioner Bousman and I met with a guy by the name of Alex Hergott, who's a federal guy. He's a federal permit improvement steering council person. And we met with him for him to get acquainted with us and to see what his role in this process was. I'm also going to report that Commissioner Bousman went to the SLIB meeting for the Wyoming Business Council
And the grant to Enviromedial was unanimously approved. And also, Commissioner Bousman met with the Pinedale Ranger District and all the Upper Green cooperators concerning final input into the record of decision on grazing renewal in the Upper Green, and the final record of decision should be forthcoming soon. I have nothing else to report. So, Holly, I don't know if you were present at the beginning. We did amend our agenda so that because of all these time constraints, we got two short items to discuss after lunch, one of which will be the scholarship selection, and then there's going to be a discussion of the broadband grant pre-application. Neither one of those should be very lengthy, but because of that, we amended the agenda to put those on after lunch.
I'll see you after lunch.
Yeah, and also, for the record, because of that, we're not going to the den today. We're going to the Wind River. So, we will now be recessed and reconvene at 1 o'clock. Thank you.